Didn't spend much time here, and didn't need any other amenities. I hadn't been in for several days, and had a stack of bills and circulars to sort through. A computer firm wanted to arrange a demonstration of what computers could do to help my business. I wondered if a nice little desktop IBM could find me paying customers. The room was stuffy. I looked through the bills to see which ones were urgent. Car insurance? I'd better pay that. The others I threw out. Most were first-time bills. A few second-time. I usually only pay bills the third time they come around. If they want the money badly, they won't forget you. I stuffed the insurance into my shoulder bag, then turned to the window and switched the air conditioner on to high. The room went dark. I'd blown a fuse in the Pulteney's uncertain electrical system. Stupid. You can't turn an air conditioner right onto high in a building like this. I cursed myself and the building management equally, and wondered whether the storeroom with the fuse boxes was open at night. During the years I'd spent in the building, I'd learned how to repair most of what could go wrong with it, including the bathroom on the 7th floor, whose toilet backed up about once a month. I made my way back down the hall and down the stairs to the basement. A single naked bulb lit the bottom of the stairs. It showed a padlock on the supply room door. Tom Charnick, the building's crusty superintendent, didn't trust anyone. I can open some locks, but I didn't have time now for an American padlock. One of those days. I counted to 10 in Italian and started back upstairs with even less enthusiasm than before. I could hear a heavy tread ahead of me, and guessed it was my anonymous visitor. When I got to the top, I quietly opened the stairwell door and watched him in the dim light. He was knocking at my office door. I couldn't see him very well, but got the impression of a short, stocky man. He held himself aggressively, and when he got no answer to his knocking, he opened the door without hesitation and went inside. I walked down the hallway and went in after him. A 5-foot-high sign from Arnie's Steak Joint flashed red and yellow across the street, providing spasms of light to my office. I saw my visitor whirl as I opened the door. "I'm looking for V.I. Warshawski," he said, his voice husky but confident, the voice of a man used to having his own way. "Yes," I said, going past him to sit behind my desk.
"Yes, what?" he demanded.
"Yes, I'm V.I. Warshawski. You call my answering service for an appointment?"
"Yeah, but I didn't know what would mean walking up 4 flights of stairs to a dark office. Why the hell doesn't the elevator work?"
"The tenants in this building are physical fitness nuts. We agreed to get rid of the elevator. Climbing stairs is well known as a precaution against heart attacks." In one of the flashes from Arnie's, I saw him make an angry gesture.
"I didn't come here to listen to a comedian," he said, his husky voice straining. "When I ask questions, I expect to hear them answered."
"In that case, ask reasonable questions. Now, do you want to tell me why you need a private investigator?"
"I don't know. I need help, all right, but this place, Jesus, and why is it so dark in here?"
"The lights are out," I said, my temper riding me. "You don't like my looks? Leave. I don't like anonymous callers, either."
All right," he said placatingly. "Simmer down. But do we have to sit in the dark?"
I laughed. "A fuse blew a few minutes before you showed up. We can go over to Arnie's Steak Joint if you want some light." I wouldn't have minded getting a good look at him myself. He shook his head.
"No, we can stay here."
He fidgeted around some, then sat in one of the visitor's chairs.
"You got a name?" I asked, to fill in the pause while he collected his thoughts. "Oh, yeah, sorry," he said, fumbling in his wallet.
He pulled out a card and passed it across the desk. I held it up to read in a flash from Arnie's. "John L. Thayer, Executive Vice President, Trust, Fort Dearborn Bank and Trust." I pursed my lips.